Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada. How wonderful it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Param Brahma, Krishna, who is sought by great, great sages for the sake of liberation and transcendental bliss, is acting as your best well-wisher, your friend, your cousin, your heart and soul, your worshipable director, and your spiritual master. Krishna can become the director and spiritual master of anyone who is serious about getting the mercy of Krishna. The Lord sends the spiritual master to train a devotee, and when the devotee is advanced, the Lord acts as a spiritual master from within. Tesam satatam yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena ma upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Krishna does not become the direct spiritual master unless one is fully trained by his representative spiritual master. Therefore, as we have already discussed, the Lord's representative spiritual master should not be considered an ordinary human being. The representative spiritual master never gives any false knowledge to his disciple, but only the perfect knowledge. Thus, he is the representative of Krishna. Krishna helps as the guru or spiritual master from within and from without. From without, he helps the devotee as representative, and from within, he talks personally with the pure devotee and gives him instructions by which he may return back to Godhead. Om Agyanatmanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Anvilatam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Panchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnabhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadhara Sivasadi Ghor Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are continuing the instructions given for a civilized human being. And in this particular verse, Narada Muni is explaining to Yudhishthira Maharaj that how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is amongst them and giving them His special blessings and His special association. As the verse mentions, He's there as His their uncle, their friend, their cousin. In so many different relationships, Krishna is there giving personal instructions to the Pandavas. But more than the personal instructions, He's giving His personal association. And as Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, that the spiritual master, who is the external manifestation of the Supreme Lord, is not an ordinary person. And we should be very, very mindful that we do not commit and offend the person who is acting as a spiritual master. Because sometimes, due to our insufficient knowledge, at the same time, our personal interaction and experience, we find that sometimes some persons have acted as spiritual masters, and due to some misfortune, they deviate from the path of devotional service and have a fall down. But the scripture is full of warnings that how careful we must be when we attain the mercy of the Lord. Because those who have been granted permission to enter into devotional service are not ordinary. In the Nectar of Devotion, second chapter, it is mentioned very clearly by Rupa Goswami that those who have come to Krishna consciousness is not by some chance, but it is because you have made some great endeavors in the past lives, and you have sufficiently prayed to the Supreme Lord with sincerity that in this life is reciprocating with you and allowing you to enter into the field of devotional service. And devotional service is something which is very, very rarely granted to a living entity unless and until he is fixed in his goal. And what is that goal? That goal is to simply develop love for the Supreme Lord and serve him. Of course, here it is mentioned in the verse that great devotees, they make, and sages, they make great endeavor for liberation and transcendental bliss. Now, liberation, Prabhupada says, is not a very important aspect of our consideration. But the transcendental bliss is, because as we engage in devotional service, the Supreme Lord reciprocates with us, and we feel the very divine kind of happiness, which is not found in this material interaction. And liberation is a byproduct. It is already there. As Prabhupada says, as soon as one comes to Krishna consciousness, his liberation is guaranteed. There's no question about it, because it's a byproduct. It is not something which we have to make great endeavor for. But the chance and the opportunity of that liberation is lost when we waver in our devotional practice or we become offenders. And generally, we become despondent in our practice of Krishna consciousness is because it's not that we are not getting the transcendental bliss, but it's because we are subtly offending the Vaishnavas, and that offense comes from deep-rooted envy in the heart. Envy is such a dangerous thing that even slightest entertainment of envy is in your heart, immediately you will feel offensive towards the fellow Vaishnava. Sometimes we see that a Vaishnava is being glorified. And we go along with that, but deep in the heart we say, well, what has he done to deserve this glorification? I have done better. Why? Nobody is glorifying me. Now, a devotee who is brightly situated, he would think differently. He would think, this is such a great person. It is my great fortune to associate with him. And by his association, I will also become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada is over and over mentioning in his purports that the practice of devotional service should be done in the association of devotees. Why in association of devotees? Because the devotees are most merciful and very kind, and they will freely give their association to you. And that association is what is going to help you advance in the journey of practicing devotional life. Otherwise, it becomes a mechanical process while we are executing our so-called practice of devotional life. You know, we get up in the morning, we come into our japa, we attend morning program, we attend class, we do all these things, but it becomes mechanical. Now, one who has actually appreciated this transcendental bliss, what does he do? He is never satisfied with this transcendental bliss. He is always hankering for more and more and more. Now, if we are all honest in our practice of Krishna consciousness, do we feel excited at night when we go to take rest? That I can't wait till 4 o'clock in the morning so that I can get down there in the temple room and eagerly wait for the conch to blow and the curtains to apart, and then there's the divine form of Radha Gokulananda very blissfully waiting there to give us his transcendental audience. If you are honest, I would think that we are not eager. But it is part of practice. So we try and make an endeavor. But nonetheless, this endeavor is not bad, because through that endeavor, the test will come. Because these things are not something which is material. It is very transcendental test. And transcendental test has to be acquired. And how that transcendental test can be acquired is that slowly and steadily as we engage in the process of devotional service, the heart becomes purified. And as the heart is becoming more and more purified, then the real test comes. And then we can experience the test. And once that test is there, then you are always eager for it, because that test is such a unique feeling that you want more and more and more of it, and you will never be satisfied. For example, something which is material, which brings you pleasure, it has its limitations. After some point, you will not find the same happiness and eagerness to receive that sense pleasure from material object. For example, someone likes to watch a movie, you know, and you're so excited, you would sit there and watch the movie for 3 hours. And then 2 days later, you watch the same movie again. It's not the same excitement you would get, but you still watch it because it brings some excitement and, you know, some kind of a material pleasure. But someone forces you to watch the same movie hour after hour after hour, what's going to happen? That movie, which initially which was the cause of your material sense pleasure, is now going to be pain for you. It will be very painful for your eyes to see, for your ears to hear the sound, and it will become so distasteful that if someone even mentions the movie again, you will just go crazy. So this is material sense pleasure. But we are so foolish that after that experience, we very quickly forget. And some months later, we want to indulge in the same thing again because we think maybe there is still slightly some pleasure left. And this is what Prabhupada says, chewing the sugar cane, chewing the chewed, you know, thinking one more last squeeze in the mouth will, you know, bring one more drop of sugar, you know, out of the sugar cane, and I will get the pleasure of sugar, the sweetness of sugar. So we do that. And all of us, we fell into the same trap, you know, day in and day out. The pains of this material world are so much that we get frustrated and we say, oh, I'm never going to do that again. But sometimes later, we try one more time and one more time. Because we still deep down we think, maybe there is still some pleasure. Why? Because in this material world, the soul has been going around for many, many lifetimes. And it is so conditioned to easily appreciate material sense pleasure that it cannot, it has forgotten practically what is transcendental bliss, what is pure, you know, blissful pleasures of the divine spirituality. And because the soul, as Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, the soul has two qualities. Either it is, it's marginal, and it can take up either quality, material or spiritual, according to whichever way you associate. So if the spiritual soul associates material energy, then he will take up material qualities and he will take sense pleasure of material nature. If he transfers himself to the spiritual realm and associates with spiritual energy, then he will take up spiritual characteristics and he will enjoy the spiritual bliss. You cannot test something which is spiritual with material. It is incompatible. But we are trying. And we are trying over and over, just like Prabhupada gives the example of a donkey. You know, a donkey is so much excited by the female donkey that he tries to enjoy material sense pleasures. Every time he approaches the female donkey, she kicks him literally with his her hind legs, and it literally smashes the jaw and the face, and it's painful. But the donkey doesn't think, oh, that's enough, I've had it. I'm giving up all this nonsense. He tries one more time, and one more time, and one more time. And he keeps going on. But he never gives up, because he thinks there is still pleasure in it. And this is our position, that we keep trying over and over and over. But somehow, as I said in the beginning, that it is by the great mercy of the Lord that he saw some sincerity in our heart, and he has given us opportunity to come into the transcendental realm of devotional service, and thereby allow us to be freed from this entanglement. And what's happening is that we are blissfully carrying on, and we have a wonderful benefit of good association of wonderful devotees. And this is what is encouraging us to keep going in our endeavors of spiritual life. And those who are actually living with the devotee community and the devotee association, they feel much more happier to engage in devotional service. Because even if some days they are down, the association of devotees will again bring their enthusiasm again back into the fire and keep you going. Just like, fire is burning vigorously. And if that fire is unattended, what happens? Slowly and gradually it dwindles. And finally it comes to that it is just kindling a little bit. And if it is completely neglected, then it dies. But doesn't mean that there's no fire there. The fire is in there, but it is not in its manifested form. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada gives that example of the wood. The wood is inert object, but there is fire in there. But you can't say it unless the environment is perfect. Then the wood will ignite and it will take fire. So similarly, in our spiritual practice, we are like that, by the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, that fire of spiritual life, the devotional life, is ignited in our heart. And we very enthusiastically come to Krishna consciousness. And we give up all our bad habits to take up the path of devotional life. And then we are continuing. And if we maintain that path, then very quickly that fire of spirituality will get stronger and stronger. And as we all know, fire has a power to practically vanquish everything in its path. When we see these massive forest fires, it just burns everything in sight. It doesn't spare anything. Now, in your own personal experience, if you try to pile up a freshly cut tree, which is still wet and it's not dried out completely, so there's so much moisture in it. You try to burn that. It won't catch fire. But if you persevere with putting petrol and kerosene and, with great endeavor, you may get the wet wood to catch fire. But dry wood, with a little right condition and, it will catch fire very quickly. Even we know from, I don't know if some of you had experience in yours as scouts or guides, We were going out in the forest camping and then we were told that we have to make a campfire and the only tools is two dry, pieces of wood. We have to rub it and make fire. And they said, that's the only, of course they're training us, but, the point is that by rubbing dry wood, eventually it will, by the friction, it will heat up and catch fire and you can make fire. So the forest fire, when it catches fire, it is not just dry wood which is burning, but all these trees which are mature trees full of moisture in there. And those trees are burnt without any great difficulty. So similarly, when we have good association of devotees, then that association of devotees is so powerful that even any anathas which are very strongly deep-rooted in the heart will be vanquished immediately by the power of Vaishnava Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, association. As is mentioned, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarvasiddhi Hoy. That even the moments association, Labha Matra, even moments association of Sadhu can free you from all this entanglement. So we are very fortunate that we have the opportunity to associate with Vaishnavas. But the misfortune is that we take this association for granted because it's so easily available. Now this association actually for us is very easily available is because the great personality, one of the most intimate associates of the Supreme Lord Krishna, he came to this material world, Srila Prabhupada. He came here, and because he has so much compassion in his heart, that he saw that the material world is suffering. Now, Prabhupada was very happily situated in Vrindavan, at the lotus feet of Radha Damodar. He had no problems. But still he had pain in his heart. Now what was this pain in his heart? The pain in his heart was not that I want to go to America. Huh? You see, you know, in the relative Eastern countries, you know, they all endeavor to go to America. Why? Because America is projected as a land of opportunity, a land where you can fulfill all your dreams, the land of skyscrapers and plenty of material facilities. So everybody wants to go there. Now Prabhupada is not thinking, I want to go to America. Why live in Vrindavan? Of course, nowadays when we go to Vrindavan, we have, you know, a lot of fanciful facilities. But in those days, when Prabhupada was there, there wasn't any facilities. Even now, of course, we experience that there's a lot of power cuts. Now, in those days, there were even more power cuts. They didn't have diesel engines to generate your instant electricity, you know. And when we go to MVT, we're staying in MVT, and immediately the power goes, and we know within a minute, boom, the generator will be started and electricity will be there. And for some reason, if the machine is taking longer than 1 minute, immediately we go to reception. Hey, what's happening? I can't get onto the internet. But Prabhupada didn't have all these facilities. In fact, I myself experienced that when we, first time in our lives, you know, we went to Vrindavan in 1982. And from Mathura to Krishna Balaram temple, the only mode of transportation was a horse tonga. You know, one of those horse carts. Now, can you imagine? It's not a short journey. You know, even at best of times with the car, it takes like, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour. So with a horse cart, it takes a little longer. And that was the only thing available in those days. Nothing else. Now you can imagine that this is 82. Now Prabhupada is in 1965 in Vrindavan, many, many years before that, how it was. But Prabhupada was very happy. Why? Because he was there with Radha Damodar. He was with Krishna in his heart. And he had the wonderful association of Rupa Goswami just across his living quarters. And every day, he could sit there in front of Rupa Goswami Samadhi and meditate and associate with him. And as is mentioned here in the purport, that Krishna personally manifests himself. And he can associate with you. So similarly, great saintly persons like Rupa Goswami, although in our material understanding that he has taken samadhi and he left his material body some, you know, almost 500 years back, but he can still walk amongst us because his body is not material. He's transcendental, he's spiritual, he's pure. So he can come and walk amongst us, just like Narada Muni. He's a transcendental sage. He can go from universe to universe, planet to planet. He can go anywhere. He can even walk amongst us here. But our misfortune is that we may not recognize him if he's walking around us. So Prabhupada had all this wonderful situation. But in his heart, the pain was that the material world is such a terrible place and all these living entities, they're suffering. Let me go and give them the blessings of the Lord and allow them to be freed from this suffering. So he came to the West and he made great endeavor to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And within a short time, just like the forest fire, it just spread all over the world. And there were centers all over the world, Harinams going on everywhere, prasadam being distributed all over the world, every nook and corner. There was immediate access to the holy name, immediate access to the devotees, immediate access to Krishna Katha, immediate access to the holy name of the Lord. It was just available everywhere. And everyone can get it without any great endeavor. Simply by Srila Prabhupada's grace. Otherwise, if you imagine Srila Prabhupada never left Vrindavan, then what would happen to you and I? You think that there would be a great soul who would come out and say, hey, get out of this darkness. Let me take you to the world of transcendental bliss. Very rarely. But even after Prabhupada spread this wonderful Krishna consciousness to the whole world. And easy access to devotional service and association of devotees. We take it for granted that, oh, it's just easily available. But something which is very rare, you know, you would appreciate it. But something which is easily available, we just say, oh, it's just around here, you know, you can just get it anytime you want. If you want sadhu sangha, just come to Manor and you'll get sadhu sangha, you know. It's not a big endeavor. You go to Radhananishwara, you know, just outside of Oxford Street, where there's Maya galore, and you just walk a few steps up the staircase, and there it is, the wonderful Vaikuntha, world of Krishna consciousness, Radhananishwara, and the devotees, so easily available. So we take it for granted. We don't value it. But something which is very precious, we must guard that. And guarding this association means what? That we have great awe and respect for the devotees. We should be respectful to all devotees to the point that we should see them all as great personalities and very intimate associates of the Lord. Because who amongst us is a great associate devotee? We don't know. If a great saintly person walks amongst you, you will not recognize him. Because he's not, has a force, no, we have a tilak, so someone can say, oh, he's a Hare Krishna, you know. Even if you're wearing civil clothes, but you know, you're a shaven head, a sikha and a tilak, oh, he's a Hare Krishna. And they recognize you. But a pure devotee, they cannot recognize simply by a tilak and a sikha, you know. There's no such, you know, flashing light here saying, hello, I'm here, I'm pure devotee. Can you understand? I have come here to give you grace of the Lord. No. You can't recognize him. And therefore we would offend him. And when you offend a devotee, what happens? That very rare opportunity which has been granted to us is lost in a moment. Srila Prabhupada, when he came to the Western country, nobody understood who Prabhupada was. But because Srila Prabhupada had that transcendental purity in his heart, people were attracted to him. And Prabhupada himself says, I came to America. I'm an old man. What have I got? I have no money. I'm a poor man. All I can give you is the holy name.
Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda.
But Prabhupada is saying that all these young boys and girls, American boys and girls, they're coming to me. You know, when Prabhupada actually said that, you know, I am not some great, you know, you can say the icon of material world. You know, when we see some Hollywood actor or actress, and you know, we think they are the icons. You know, they are the role models whom we all want to aspire to be like, or even want a glimpse of that. You know, you just see if someone makes an announcement that one of these latest Hollywood actor or actress is coming downtown in Leicester Square, there'll be hundreds of people out there. Just eagerly waiting, even in rain, just to get a glimpse of them. So Prabhupada, he said, I don't have any of these attributes. I'm an old man. But that, he was attracting all these people. And why? Because even Krishna, in the heart of all these living entities, was seeing that they are eager to come out of this material world. Deep in the heart they are praying. And because they are praying, so then, by Krishna's mercy, they were guided to Prabhupada. Just like we read in this purport, that by Krishna's mercy, you are guided to the spiritual master. You are introduced to the spiritual master. And then when you get association of spiritual master, then it is complete. The journey of your spiritual life begins. You know, and then it is up to us now how much we guard that rare grace upon us, that connection with the spiritual master. Now, of course, you know, in this, as I mentioned, in Krishna consciousness movement, by Prabhupada's mercy, he has made it so easily for us to associate with the Vaishnavas. And then, after Prabhupada's departure, there are many, many wonderful great devotees who took up this service to continue the paramparic line. Now, we may agree with that, we may not agree with that, because that is our material calculation. But anybody, Prabhupada says, they repeat the message of Krishna consciousness is perfectly situated. So there are many, many wonderful devotees, and not only wonderful devotees who are actually acting in the roles of spiritual masters, but all of us, when we go out preaching, we are also acting in the role of spiritual master for that person. We are instructing that person. So one who gives instruction is a master. And the instructions we are giving is not mundane instruction. We are giving spiritual instruction. So spiritual instruction means spiritual master. Not necessarily it has to be someone who is performing yagyas and giving you a spiritual name and saying, he is my Diksha Guru. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, anybody who is preaching this message of Krishna consciousness is a guru. So of course, when we are given that position by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya as a spiritual master, then we have to actually take that position very seriously. That we have to become perfect, because then there is no question of imperfection. Because as soon as there is imperfection in you, due to your material attachments, then you are doing disservice to the Supreme Lord, because you are then not appreciating His mercy upon you. He's allowing you to be His transcendental messenger. And if we neglect that, then we become offenders. If we come, again, as I said, we commit offense, then we are killing our spiritual fire. So we have to be very, very careful that we do not take this very lightly. This grace which has been blessed upon us is a very, very rare thing. And if we take it lightly, then it is very easily we can lose it. Now we know that those people in the material world, if they receive some valuable object in material sense, they'll be guarding it very, very carefully. You know, they will not just leave it anywhere. They will be, you know, always conscious and aware of that particular object of value. Now, this is material. So when you get a spiritual invaluable, priceless gift of Krishna bhakti, then shouldn't we be guarding it with great care? Why should we just say, well, bhakti is so easy, you know? It's not easy. But we are just not concerned. That's why even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that this seed of devotion which has been sprouting in the heart, that fire is ignited by the mercy of the spiritual master, must be guarded carefully so that that creeper of devotion is nurtured, so that that creeper gets a chance to hold its root deep down, that nothing can move it. Now, in our own experience, if you go into the garden and if you see some small sprout coming out of the garden, easily with just a thumb and a finger, you can grab hold of it and pluck it out. And then smash it and it's finished. Gone. Without any great endeavor. It's just destroyed. But if the gardener takes great care and nurtures that sprout, and it grows to become a mature tree, try plucking the tree out now. It is impossible to pluck it out and destroy it. So when the spiritual seed has sprouted in our hearts by the mercy of the spiritual master, then we should guard it and nurture it. And what is the nurturing of that spiritual creeper? Is first and foremost that we live in a very, very pure atmosphere and associate with devotees And secondly, by following the process which is given to us in our Krishna conscious practice of regularly performing devotional service. And devotional service means, you know, we regularly, attentively chant the holy names of the Lord, engage in the worship of the Lord, engage in the serving of Vaishnavas. All these instructions are there which will nurture that kripa. And more you nurture with all these wonderful arrangements, then it will become strong. To the point that nothing can shake it. You can see sometimes that great tornadoes come. Sometimes, you know, 150 or 200 miles an hour wind comes. And it's just blowing so fast with ferocious power that the roof of the house is lifted. And the trees are just swaying. And when the storm comes down, there is tremendous damage all around. The tree is quite happy. There's no damage to the tree. Why? Because it's matured and deep-rooted. So we are also facing this tornado of Maya. It comes at regular intervals. You know, like in America, you know, in the Bay of Gulf of Mexico. There's a tornado season. And when the tornado season is there, the tornadoes, one after the other, just come and hit you, come and hit you. And the warning is there, okay, tornado coming soon. You board up your front of the houses and buildings with boards and everything to protect your property. But even then, it smashes in. So for us, is also the tornado season of Maya. Maya is always coming. And the season is non-stop. It doesn't stop. You know, it doesn't give you relief. It doesn't give you, you know, a break. One attack of Maya is there, and as soon as you have overcome that attack of Maya, there's one next one waiting right down behind it. And it just keeps coming. But one who follows the instructions which Prabhupada has given, that we remain in the association of devotees, we remain in the devotional arena, then it creates a shield around us that even attack of Maya upon, attack after attack after attack, it will not touch you. Then you will become like a duck in water. The duck goes into the water and it comes out, it is still dry. It doesn't get affected by the water. So for a devotee who is rightly situated, he may be, you know, in the midst of the storm of Maya, but the storm will not touch you. Why? Because you have transcended this material platform simply by following the grace of the Lord. So if we continue that, then we are completely safe. And our journey becomes perfect. And as mentioned here, great sages who are aspiring for transcendental bliss will come natural. We don't have to make great endeavor. And when that transcendental bliss comes, you will actually appreciate it. Why? Because then you'll be able to taste it. Right now, it comes to you, you may not appreciate it because you don't know the difference. It's like the example given. You take the hog out of his sewers and you clean him up. With the best shampoos and fragrant oils and everything, and clean him up so he doesn't smell anymore. And here he's completely freshed and refreshed, you can say. Then you put him in a very nice compound with fresh straw and in a trough of fresh water and another trough with fresh food, you know, halawa and, you know, all this wonderful stuff. And you put a hog in there and the hog will go and he will take the halawa. And he will drink the water and he will wallow in the straw. And it is indifferent to him. Because as soon as you open the compound gate, he will shoot out and back into the gutter. And he will start taking his relishing of the sewage filth. Because he cannot tell the difference. Now, if you have little intelligence, you can know this is filthy and this is clean. And if you are in a mode of goodness, you will be attracted towards the clean environment. If you are influenced by a mode of ignorance, even though the clean environment is accessible to you, you will still be attracted to filth. So our minds are like that. But by the mercy of the Supreme Lord and His pure devotee, they have cleaned our senses of all this filth. And they have given us a transcendental pure environment. We simply have to develop attachment for that. And if we continue, and when you develop the taste for it, then nothing in this material world will bring you to your original position where you are like a hog, that you can go back into more of ignorance. One must remain in this position. And that way, we can protect ourselves without any fear and continue in our spiritual practice and thereby become perfect. So it's 8:30. I'll stop here. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak some of my thoughts.